Lecture 6, The Path to Nirvana.
In our last lecture, we talked about the first of the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering, and we had a long discussion of that important and problematic Buddhist concept of no-self. The point of that discussion, as you recall, was to explore one of the basic dilemmas in the Buddhist tradition, to try to understand how they can make such an apparently pessimistic claim about the nature of life and experience it as being an experience of freedom, of lightness, of a sense of buoyancy, and detachment from the difficulties of this world. Our job in this lecture is to continue the discussion of the Four Noble Truths, to talk about the second, the third, and the fourth, and to get a sense then of the full picture of the Buddhist analysis of the nature of life and the nature of the world. The second noble truth is called the truth of the arising of suffering. According to this noble truth, the origin of suffering, the arising of suffering, is explained by a causal sequence known as the 12-fold chain of dependent arising. And the word dependent arising is probably the longest of the technical terms that we use in an introductory course on Buddhism. In Pali, it is paticca samuppada. It's not really necessary to remember, but it's an important technical term for the discussion of Buddhism, especially when you begin to talk about the philosophers. So suffering comes from a 12-fold process of dependent conditioning, dependent arising. We could spend a little time, if we wanted, talking about each of the 12 links in the chain. That's quite a possible way to look into this concept. It's not terribly productive, in part, I think, because the 12 links of the chain represent the merging of a couple of different causal analyses of human life and human experience. So it's better for us at the beginning, really, to pluck two or three crucial links out of the chain just to see how the chain works. And if we do that, we see suffering as arising essentially from ignorance, from an experience of ignorance about the world. And from that ignorance comes desire or craving. And then out of desire or craving, according to this causal formula, comes birth. So ignorance leads to desire. Desire leads to birth. This might seem counterintuitive at first, but it's not difficult to understand. To understand what Buddhists have in mind when they say this, you might simply, probably a pretty easy thing to do, take a glossy advertisement from a magazine. I don't happen to have one here, but I suppose I could have stuffed one in my back pocket and brought it with me. Just take a glossy advertisement from a magazine, or imagine one being shown on the TV, or simply drive down some great strip in contemporary America and look at all of the advertising images that are presented to us on the roadside, and ask what kind of illusion that advertisement is meant to foster, what kinds of desires it's meant to arouse, and what comes into being as a result of those desires. Now, most of the desires are pretty benign, of course. We're not talking about anything that's really deeply troubling or problematic here, but they feed the creative process, that process of constantly acquiring new things and letting them slip away and getting more things that, from a Buddhist point of view, would feed the process of death and rebirth. It simply fuels samsara. This is the fire that's added to the fuel that's added to the fire of the personality and the fire of experience that drives this continuous process of death and rebirth. Now, the most fundamental form of ignorance, obviously, especially after what we talked about last time, is the idea that I, this something here, this personality, am something permanent that needs to be protected and fed with desirable experiences and ever more desirable objects. That's the basic form of ignorance that fuels this fire of existence.